A man named Marcus Buckingham wrote a book on management, and he titled it, Now Discover Your Strength. And it presents some very simple but very straightforward claims about how to work with people and how to play to their strengths while you're working with them in the workplace, business, school, whatever. Too often, says Buckingham, managers and business people waste a whole lot of time and a whole lot of effort attempting to improve employees' weak skills rather than developing their strong ones. And he says you get more bang for your buck by putting people in roles where they already have gifts and already excel and already strong at doing something. And they will succeed in that position. And studies find that the most productive employees spend the majority of their day doing tasks that they like to do. That doesn't surprise you, does it? What do you tend to want to do all day long? The stuff you like to do, the stuff you're good at. And Buckingham's basically just saying, hey, that's what you ought to do. And yet, we have a tendency to major on our weaknesses, or to point out the weaknesses of other people. Well, you know, she's just not very good at that. Well, he did that job just kind of halfway. And we kind of tend to pay way too much attention to that and detract from each other and bring each other down. Another important insight that Buckingham had is that even though this is what we should do, play to our strengths, there's a whole lot of us who don't really know what our strengths are. We're much better at complaining about what we lack or what we can't do. But any organization, it is better, it is stronger, it is more successful when its members affirm and celebrate and enjoy each other's strengths. Isn't that especially true in the church? It is. Paul said so. Think about that as what we go back and take a look briefly at what he said in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He was writing to a church that was in tremendous conflict. They were fighting with each other. They were taking pot shots at each other. You know why? In Corinth, the big thing was you had knowledge. If you had this certain knowledge, then you were somebody and you were in charge, you were in control. You were very spiritual if you had this certain knowledge of God. That and if you spoke in tongues, ecstatic tongues, you know, it sounds like gibberish to somebody who just hearing it, but there was this ecstatic sort of experience that they thought was just wonderful, and the problem was that they said everybody ought to speak in tongues. What, you don't speak in tongues? Well, you must not be very spiritual. I speak in tongues. Well, you must be nothing. I'm something great. That's the kind of church that Paul was writing this letter to when he started talking about these sort of things. And how did he counter all this bickering, all this finger-pointing, all this arguing? He basically was trying to say to them in this letter, he's stressing, here are his basic points. All strengths or all gifts or all abilities are of God. Okay, that's what he wanted to nail down to them. Then he was basically trying to say God gives a lot of different kind of gifts, a whole bunch of different kinds. So you ought to know that, you Corinthian believers, and the church ought to use, the church ought to celebrate the strengths that each one has. You caught all that, didn't you, in the analogy about I'm not an ear, I'm not an eye. Well, so what, you know? Do your part, and we'll all get it done together by doing the things we are good at doing. Now, one of the things I want to do as a pastor of a church is to recognize the God-given talents and abilities that people have, their strengths. And it's always a pleasure whenever we together, in ministry together, find that out. And we encourage people to use their strengths and to exercise their abilities. Use his or her talents to the glory of God. You go for it, girl. You do it, guy. You got it. Go with it. That's the wise thing to do. Now, how can this work out in the nitty-gritty of church life? I read about a pastor who had a businessman in his church who was just a hard-nails sort of guy. I mean, he was abrupt. He was abrupt to the point of bluntness with people. And nobody ever thought about having him in a job in the church because he was such a hard-boiled business guy. You know, he was just too rough, too direct for nice church people. Well, this man retired from his business. He had a terrible time with retirement, adjusting to it. He was miserable. He was depressed. Finally, he came to his pastor and he said, "You know, I am just so out of it. I am so depressed." And then in that instance, this pastor said to this man, he said, "Well, why don't you come and work at our clothes closet and our food pantry here at church?" Pastor said he had no idea why he came up with something like that, but he said it must have been the Holy Spirit who told him to tell the guy that. So he did. This hard-boiled businessman came to the church 3 days a week, started working with people in the food pantry and the clothes closet, started working people who were really in hard times, down on their luck, having great financial difficulties. And lo and behold, one lady came to him one day, and the power company was turning off her lights, turning off the power to her house because she had paid the bill late. What does this guy do? He gets on the phone, calls the president of the power company, who is one of his golfing buddies, and he says, "Shame on you for cutting this lady's power off." You know, that evening, that lady's power was cut back on. Isn't that great? He had a gift and ability that you might say, well, he can't use that in church. He's too blunt. He's too direct. But my goodness, here it was useful to do good in the kingdom of God. How about that? I want Mount Hermon Baptist Church to be good at assessing, evaluating, and using people's gifts to the glory of God. We call that being an equipping church. We all come equipped with some strong points, right? Some strong talents. And they're going to enhance somebody else's strong talents and somebody else's good abilities. We ought to be an equipping church in every way we can possibly be. I read about a woman who wanted to sing in her church choir. She tried singing in the choir, but she was eventually asked to leave the choir. Have you all ever asked anybody to leave the choir? No. You've scared plenty of people away, right? But you didn't know. You don't kick anybody out of the choir. If they can sing. Well, she was asked to leave the choir. She was that bad at it. So she tried leading the Sunday school. But that was a disaster. Organization was not her skill. And then one day they were having a business meeting at church, and somebody was complaining about the abysmal state of the church lawn. It looked awful. With that, this lady spoke up and said, "Hey, I can do that." She had a love for yard work. She just loved doing it. And the church knew that. And they said, "Okay, Edna, you do that." And it started a tradition in that church of Saturdays with Edna. People of all ages, no matter what ages they were, could volunteer, show up, and work with Edna every Saturday morning. And she got that churchyard just looking beautiful. Using her gifts to glorify God. You see, a well-functioning congregation figures out how to identify, how to affirm, and how to use each person's God-given strengths. You want Mount Hermon Baptist Church to be weak? You want it to be a crummy church? Expect me to do everything, okay? And it will be a lousy church. I'm good at some stuff, okay? But I'm not good at everything. You're gooder at it than I am. So, you know, don't just sit on the sidelines and expect me to do it or Susan to do it or Pei Ling, you know. And, well, that's what we pay him for. Hey, it doesn't work that way. You want a weak church, a lousy church, expect us to do everything. Here's something else that happened in a church. Chairman of the nominating committee says, "Can't we get James off the personnel committee, please?" The pastor admitted that he often wished that James was not on the personnel committee. He was the most negative, sour, and critical person I think he had ever met. He never had a good word for anybody. But then the pastor said, "No, I really think we need James and his gifts on that committee." And the chairman of the nominated committee said, "Preacher, you've got to be kidding." James is so difficult to get along with, he's always complaining about somebody. Well, said the pastor, that can be an asset on this committee. As long as James is there, I never have to worry about you protecting me from bad or false feedback. James will always tell it to me. I never have to worry about hearing about a problem until it's too late to do anything about it. James will speak up as soon as he hears rumblings. Well, how about that? What we might think is a real bad drag and a negative. Isn't it wonderful how God gives different gifts? That's what Paul was saying. We need all gifts, even the gifts of bluntness, even sometimes the gift of negativity, in order for the church to be all that it is called to be in Jesus Christ. Now I ask you, what abilities do you have? What abilities do you have to put to work in the kingdom of God? Don't say nothing. I mean, don't say you don't have any gifts. That's what I mean. Because you got something. What is it? You know. Don't be modest. Don't be shy. Just say, oh, well, no, I'm not very good at that. You are good at it. Step up and say, hey, I'm good at this. Or if you haven't discovered it yet, think about it. Pray about it. And then, that's not enough, you know. Then use it. Use it or lose it. Use it or it's the same as not having it, right? God wants you to use it. And if you enjoy doing it, all the better. You're supposed to enjoy it. That's just fine. What do you do? Marcus Buckingham says, play to your strengths. Excellent advice. Comes from the Bible. Do it. Remember Michael Jordan, don't you? He's still around. But Michael Jordan was the greatest what? Basketball player that's probably ever lived. You remember in Michael Jordan's career, I guess he probably got tired of basketball, got kind of burned out, and so he quit. And what did Michael Jordan start to do? He said, you know, I always really wanted to play baseball and be a great baseball player. So he joined a baseball team. He was on a minor league baseball team. And do you remember what he was like as a baseball player? He was mediocre. He was just, not very good. Couldn't field all that great. I remember seeing video of him. You know, this guy who was so brilliant on the basketball court and just could handle complex situations, just catching a fly ball out in outfield. He couldn't do it. Couldn't hit very well either. So he recognized that baseball was not his strength, and he went back to playing basketball. Smart thing to do. Now, you might not think that you're a genius at anything, but God says you have some good skills and abilities, and he can really use them to build his kingdom.